Good day, and welcome to today's iPro Improvement in Oral Medication Management Introduction to New York State Initiative Conference Call. This call is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the call over to Ms. Sarah Butterfield. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you, Tamika. Good afternoon, everybody, and I'd like to thank you for joining our iPro Home Health Project team this afternoon as we launch the Improvement in Oral Medication Management statewide initiative. Our presentation today is structured to provide you with an overview of the oral medication public reported quality measure, and then we're going to provide you with an overview of the Improvement in Oral Medication Management Improvement Matrix, along with the corresponding tools and resources, and how they have been applied to your plan of action development related to improvement in oral medication management. Thankfully, again, we've received an excellent response from agencies interested in participating on the call today, and as always, we appreciate your commitment and your time to participate in your collaboration with us on improving this measure. Those of you who registered for today's call did receive an email with a copy of the slides that we're going to reference during today's presentation. We also sent you a program evaluation form and an updated version of the BEERS criteria, which I'll talk about a little later. If for some reason you did not receive a copy of these materials, we did post them to our website. And I'll give you that address in case you need to go there and download them. It's https://providers.ipro.org/index/home health. Again, it's providers.ipro.org/index/home health. You'll notice in the events section, you'll see today's call posted, and you can click on that link, which will bring you to the materials that we'll be referencing this afternoon. As Jamika noted, the call today is being taped, and we're going to be posting it to the home health section of the website to make it available to you for future review. We're very excited that some of you have shared, those participating on today's call, that you have gathered your clinical staff together for today's presentation, and we welcome them to the informational presentation this afternoon. I would encourage you, those of you that were not able to have your clinical staff to listen to the audio today, to go to the website once it's posted and listen to the materials and the information, because your clinical staff will really be able to guide you in developing your plan of action for this quality measure. Presently, all of your lines are muted, and following the presentation, we will be opening the lines up for your questions, comments, and some further discussion. And as I move through the slides, I'll reference the slides that we're on so that you can keep up with the presentation. So let's first begin by reviewing the objectives for today's presentation, which are listed on slide 2. We're going to review the components of the management of oral medications quality measure, and that's so we all have the same understanding of what goes into the calculation of the oral medication measure from OASIS to the publicly reported website, and why this measure was selected for statewide improvement for New York. We're also going to review the Oral Medication Management Improvement Matrix and its application to the plan of action development. And for those of you familiar and that have used the Acute Care Hospitalization Improvement Matrix, it is structured the same way. The matrix provides you with evidence-based strategies targeting oral medication management, and it also has corresponding tools that can be customized for application to your patient population. And we'll walk through the matrix a little later so you can get used to using it. We're also going to discuss the oral medication management planning packet that we forwarded to you on February 27th. And it went to the iPro liaison for each of your agencies. And again, this is to facilitate your plan of action development. And we'll review the contents of that packet also in more detail. We're going to discuss the application of the OBQI process and identify strategies to improve this outcome. And again, the agencies that utilize the matrix addressing the acute care hospitalization measure really have provided us with very positive feedback about the matrix, the strategies, and applying those strategies to their plan of action development. And then finally, we're going to identify some resources to support agency performance improvement efforts for this measure. So let's first look at why we're focusing on oral medication management and why this measure was selected for statewide improvement. And we'll move on to slide number 3. For the ACE scope of work, which is our three-year contract with CMS, CMS asked each of the quality improvement organizations nationally to focus collaboration with home health providers on the acute care hospitalization measure, and also gave us the latitude to select one additional publicly reported measure for statewide focus. And around mid part of last year, we provided each of you with a needs assessment survey, which asked you to rank each of the remaining 10 publicly reported quality measures by priority. In addition to that, we asked our home health steering committee to do the same thing. And our steering committee membership consists of each of the home care associations in New York State, the OASIS education coordinator, and provider representatives. And then finally, we also reviewed data for each measure from the previous three-year time period in the work that we did with you within the seven scope of work. And overwhelmingly, the improvement in oral medication management quality measure floated to the top as the highest priority measure, which is why it's been selected for focus for this next three-year time period. As you can see on slide three, historically, when Home Health Compare was first launched in November of 2003, the national average for oral medications was at 35%, and New York State average actually exceeded the national average at 38%. In the most recent update of Home Health Compare that occurred in December of 2005, you can see that the national average increased to 40%, and again, we're still above the national average at 42%, but as more agencies focus on these measures, on this measure, nationally, the bar continues to raise for comparison. And that will continue. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services has established for us, for all of QI quality improvement organizations nationally, an ambitious goal for our work in the ACE scope of work. And again, that started in August and runs to 2008. And the national target goal that CMS established for this measure is at 90%. So we're looking at, from the 42% that we're at presently, how close we can get to that 90% measure. On slide four, you can see a timeline trend for our New York State agencies that extends from July 2004 to July 2005, which is just prior to when the ACE scope of work started. The breakdown provides a comparison by the type of agency, and by type I'm referring to whether it's a standalone long-term care agency or a special needs agency, or a traditional CHA agency, or those agencies that serve a combined CHA and long-term care patient population. And it's further broken down for you by both downstate and upstate region. And as you look at the information, it really indicates some opportunities for improvement all overall, because there really hasn't been a significant change in the 12-month time period that's noted here. This grid also should look familiar to you because it's the same that we attach to your trend reports that we send to your agency quarterly, and those will be continuing. So it really just provides you with a comparison by your agency type, by region, to see where your measure stands in comparison to the rest of the agencies by type in New York State. Moving to slide number five, you're want to all have the same understanding of how and where this quality measure comes from, so let's first take a look at where the calculation of the publicly reported measure originates from. And as with all of your quality measures, your publicly reported quality measures, it really starts with how you answer the OASIS question. And specifically for our purposes here today, we're looking at MU 780. On the slide here, you're going to see that the definition is the patient's ability to prepare and take all prescribed oral medications reliably and safely, including administration of the correct dosage at the appropriate times and intervals. What's excluded is injectable and IV medications. And what's stressed here is it's the patient's ability, not their compliance or willingness to take the medication. And if we can focus on the take all prescribed oral meds reliably and safely for a moment, Chapter 8 of the OASIS manual provides further guidance to look at what is true most of the time. And quoting from there, if the patient's ability to manage medications varies from medication to medication, consider the total number of medications and the total daily doses in determining what is true most of the time. As noted on the CMS OASIS web-based training, this specific OASIS item refers to safely preparing and taking the correct medications in the correct dosages at the correct time. It does not report the patient or caregiver's knowledge about the medication. Preparation includes the ability to read the label, i.e. the correct medication, open the container, select the pill or tablet or milliliters of liquid, correct dosage, and orally ingest at the prescribed time. The knowledge of medication issue would naturally be addressed in your care planning related to appropriate teaching, but does not enter into your answer to this OASIS question. Slide number 6 provides the format for assessment of prior and current time periods, starting with 0 on the scale, which is patient is able to independently take the correct oral medication and proper dosage at the correct time. Stage 1, able to take medications if the individual doses are prepared in advance by another person or the patient is given daily reminders or someone develops a drug diary or chart for the patient. Level 2 is unable to take medication unless administered by someone else. Not applicable is no oral medications prescribed. And finally, unknown, which only really applies to the prior category, not current. Now, the prior column should describe the patient's ability 14 days prior to the start of care or resumption of care visit. And the current column is describing what the patient is able to do today. And I know, as you've all heard thousands of times, it is your observations of the patient's ability, not based upon your interview of the patient. So you really want to have the patient be able to demonstrate to you their ability to be able to answer this question accurately. As noted before, unknown is an option only in the prior column. Only medications whose route of administration is PO should be considered for this item. Medications given per gastrostomy or other tube are not administered PO but are administered per tube. And if you have some more specific questions regarding interpretation of the measure, you can submit those questions to us via email following the call. And because CMS does limit our involvement in OASIS guidance, but what we can do is we can forward your questions on to the New York State OASIS Education Coordinator and get you a response to clarify your questions. So if there's other questions or scenarios that you would like to be able to get answered so that you're comfortable with your staff completing this OASIS item, we'll be more than happy to channel those questions and get you answers. If we move on to slide 9, we just talk about the calculation of outcome rates. It's very important that all of your staff really understand the interpretation of the OASIS question. You want it to be responded to accurately and consistently for all patients because the responses are aggregated across all your patients into calculation for your agency rate, and that's what's publicly reported and what's printed out on your OBQI reports. So on slide 9, there's an explanation of this calculation for the oral medication measure. Your agency reports and home health care rate are based upon OASIS data for all of your patients that have a start of care, resumption of care, and a discharge or transfer during the specified 12-month time period. All of the OBQI reports and the reports that your home health compare data are run from are always on a 12-month period of time. So the report contains all patients with a start of care, resumption of care, a starting point to care, and an endpoint to care that's either discharge or transfer. And it's important to remember here that we're talking about care episodes, not payment episodes. So keep that in mind. This then becomes your denominator. The numerator is all patients with care episodes that have the potential to improve, important, potential to improve in oral medication management. So patients who are at a 0 at start of care, resumption of care, they're already independent. So they're excluded from this measure because they're already at the optimal level of functioning and therefore they cannot improve. Now, hopefully we all have the same understanding of where and how this quality measure is calculated from our mission and then becomes how to improve our patient's ability to manage their oral medications over the course of the home care episode. And that's really what we're focusing on for plan of action development for this measure. And to achieve this goal, we really encourage you to utilize your clinical staff to identify clinical activities and actions that occur between them and the patient that might improve the ability to manage oral medications and include the following areas of assessment, clinical interventions and teaching, care planning, and coordination. And to support this process, we forwarded each of you an oral medications planning packet. And what I'd like to do is review that with you, what's incorporated into the packet, and how that can be used for plan of action development. So we're moving on to slide 11. We're looking at what's been incorporated into the oral medication planning packet. We included the oral medication management improvement matrix on CD-ROM and in hard copy format for you to reference. I'm going to discuss the matrix in a little more detail shortly. But again, that's the list of the evidence-based strategies that target improvement for this quality measure. Along with the improvement matrix on that same CD-ROM, you have the oral medications, tools, and resources that you can customize and use within your agency. They also map to the strategies that are in the improvement matrix. We also included a clinical record audit tool for you to utilize for your process of care investigation. And again, you can use that clinical record tool as is, or you can customize it for your particular agency and patient population. And we also included in there a plan of action template to guide your development of the plan. Included in the package, you also received instructions for navigation through the patient tally workbook on the CD-ROM that's incorporated into the sent you in the acute care hospitalization planning packet in October. If you're in a large agency, it will be helpful for you to use the patient tally workbook. If you're a smaller agency, some of you may choose just to print out your outcome tally report. Either way, this report or use of the workbook can help you identify patients who both improved and did not improve in oral medication management for the 12-month reporting period. So look back to the CD-ROM we sent you in October in your acute care hospitalization planning packet. If for some reason you can't locate that, please just let us know and we can make sure that you get an updated version so you know which patients to select. Also included in the packet are some sample intervention strategies and a resource guide with some best practice tools, including a medication assessment protocol, staff educational tools. There's teaching strategies there. Medication simplification protocol, and some of these materials we'll review a little later in the presentation. All of the information in this packet is to help facilitate the design and development of your oral medications plan of action. So let's review the oral medication management improvement matrix. Let's walk through that so you're comfortable with the use. On slide 14, you'll see a picture of what you see when you open up the improvement matrix on the CD-ROM. And if you move on to slide 15, you'll also actually see a screenshot of the actual improvement matrix. As a reminder, we included a hard copy of this in your planning packet to help you be able to read it and refer to more clearly. So slide 15 provides you with the big picture of the improvement matrix. You will note that there's categories across the top that are referred to as areas for improvement. These are based on the chronic care model, and the five areas that the strategies are focused within are promoting patient self-management, implementing evidence-based practices and guidelines, using systems and technology to promote effectiveness and efficiency, improving care delivery systems and mobilizing community resources, and creating a culture of quality. And those of you that are familiar with using the acute care hospitalization improvement matrix, you remember that these are the same five categories addressed in that matrix also. The individual blocks in the matrix to contain high-level strategies for change, you note that some of them are marked with an asterisk, and those are considered to have higher leverage areas identified by experts and supported in the literature to move the measure and improve it. For each area of improvement, the strategies are further broken down into specific ideas for actions that are being tested and implemented at the agency level. And many of the actions also have tools and resources which can be assigned by number. And we're going to actually walk through one of the strategies in just a few minutes so that you can see how it works. Just want to focus quickly on the improvement matrix itself in those five areas that we just talked about for improvement, just so you have a better understanding of what's focused on in those areas. For the promoting patient self-management, it's really focusing strategies on problem-solving skills and self-efficacy and the role of the home care nurse in assessing and motivating and empowering patient self-management. And there's evidence that effective self-management really is associated with better outcomes for the patient. The second area is implementing evidence-based practices and guidelines. And there's really a strong foundation of evidence-based practices and guidelines exist, but also have to take into account the importance of the knowledge and skills and expertise of the clinicians. So the focus here is getting clinicians to know and use the evidence base. And that can be something as simple as the policies and care plans within your agency. Systems and technology to promote effectiveness and efficiency, and this is really related to the concept that quality should not be solely the responsibility of individual clinicians, but really organizational systems really need to support the clinicians doing the right thing every time. Improving care delivery systems and mobilizing community resources looks at delivery system problems that lead to problems with medication reconciliation, poor planning, communication, and insufficient information transfer. And then finally, creating a quality of culture is really creating a culture of quality within the organization that incorporates quality performance objectives into your strategic objectives, gaining the commitment of the senior leaders with regards to the quality improvement activities that you're doing, and engaging staff from the bottom up in quality improvement activities. Slide 17 provides you with some definitions of some of the categories within the improvement matrix, and you can certainly read through those yourself. Once you have an opportunity to look at the matrix, you may want to go back to those just so you're clear. They're pretty self-explanatory. So let's take one of the evidence-based strategies from the improvement matrix, and we'll see how to walk through the use of the matrix. So under the area improvement entitled Using Systems and Technology to Promote Efficiency and Effectiveness, let's select strategy C2, which says that to use systems to enhance effective internal and external communication and continuity of care. And further breaks that down by staff communication within and between disciplines. That includes paraprofessionals, between office-based and frontline staff, communication with key physicians, and communication with patients and families. So that provides us with our evidence-based strategy. So let's walk through the matrix, and we'll find the category using systems and technology to promote and locate strategy C2. What you'll find for this strategy, and you'll see on slide 19, for this strategy and all of the others, you'll see corresponding actions. So strategy C, the actions listed include review the medication profile to identify opportunities to simplify the medication regimen, encourage use of a single pharmacy, coordinate with a pharmacy on customized medication packaging based on the patient's need, and collaborate with key physicians. The middle column provides you with corresponding tools and resources that map to those specific actions. You'll notice that each of the tools in parentheses has a number next to them. When you open up the tools and resource binder on your CD-ROM, the tools are listed by number, so you can locate the number that you're interested in to find the tool. In some cases, you may find a website URL there that when you click on it will bring you to the website that has some additional tools and resources specific to that action. And again, any and all of these tools can be customized for your agency. You can combine a couple of the tools. Feel free to delete or add to any of the tools to make it agency specific. And finally, in the last column, you'll see the rationale, and that really provides you the rationale for each of the strategies, the evidence base, and I really would encourage you to review the matrix in each of the strategies in more detail. You'll need to do that as you develop your plan of action to decide which strategies you'd like to focus on, and I would encourage you to limit the number of strategies that you select to to no more than two. One to two is sufficient. So let's talk about how the matrix then maps to the OBQI process. And on slide 21, this looks, I'm sure, very familiar to most of you. It's the OBQI outcome enhancement process. And we're looking from the category of interpreting your outcome reports to actually looking at monitoring your action plan. So we're looking at the full circle, and you'll notice it's a continuous circle for performance improvement. So the target outcome will be improvement in oral medication management, and we'll specify a target rate, and we're going to talk a little bit about investigating your care processes and where you go from there. So as far as where and how to start, that's the key issue. And you have the comprehensive change framework in the improvement matrix that we provided. Just want to say that it's an excellent system of care. It really will improve the systems within your organization, the different strategies, to help you make that transformational change to improve this outcome measure. The matrix certainly does not include everything, and strategies will be added over time as many of the home health agencies nationally look at this measure. The issues are not going to be the same for every agency, and we'll talk about how you can identify what your specific issues are for your agency. And there are some additional diagnostic tools that really can help you narrow the focus for your plan of action development. So let's look at the next steps for plan of action development. First of all, we're going to interpret outcome reports and specify the target rate for your agency. And this is really the first major component of the plan of action development, setting a target rate for your agency. You have your OBQI risk-adjusted outcome reports to know what your risk-adjusted level or rate is for the specific outcome. We also forward you on a quarterly basis your agency trend reports, and each of you just received one for oral medication management. So you can see what your baseline rate is compared to other New York State agencies, the national average, and the CMS target goal, as well as the top 10 high-performing agencies for this measure in New York State. Remember, when you're setting your target rate, look at where you're currently at and look at improving that. It can be whatever rate you would like it to be, can be improving 1 or 2 percentage points, but you definitely need to set a goal of where you want to be in the next 12-month time period. And don't stick with the average rate because that's not necessarily the goal of where you want to be. You can, in some cases, improve beyond that. Very important for the first next step is to conduct your process of care investigation. We provided you with a oral medications planning packet chart audit tool. You're going to select 30 patient care episodes. You're going to review the care episodes, and we're going to summarize the findings. Very important with this that you not make assumptions as far as why you feel your patients are not improving in medication management. Very important to take a look at your clinical records and to see what is driving the rate or what could be done differently for opportunities to improve it. The patient tally workbook I mentioned before, back in October, we sent you one with your acute care hospitalization queries on there. Let's walk through the tally workbook in a little more detail for review. The tally workbook itself is Excel-based, and it has all of your raw OASIS data for the patients that are included in your OBQI report. What it actually does is it takes and mixes your case mix tally report and outcome tally reports into one tool. And then it allows you to query it for specific types of patients that achieved the outcome measure or did not achieve the outcome measure. Slide 26 provides you with a screenshot of the Tally Workbook tool. Some of you are used to using this tool, but sometimes it can be hard to remember what the name of the tool is, and some of you may need some guidance. So we'd be more than happy to work with you to provide that review and help you navigate through the tool to the Tally Workbook. When we sent you the Tally Workbook, because it has patient data, it was password protected. So when you open the tool, it's going to prompt you to enter your password. We did forward those to you back in October under separate cover. If you don't have your agency's password, just call one of us and we'll give it to you so that you can get into the tool and get the information that you need. If for some reason you encounter any difficulty when you open the tool, It may be because your Excel security level is set on high. And to correct this, on the Excel toolbar at the top, if you click on Tools, you'll see a choice for Macros. And when you click on Macros, you'll see a drop-down menu for the choice of Security. And you can select the Medium choice. Then go back out of the tool and open it up again, and it should enable, click Enable Macros, and you should be able to get in there. Again, we're happy to walk you through any stages of that. Once you enable macros, what you'll see is that screenshot that you have on slide 26. And what you're going to do is click here to activate report, and that'll bring you to the screenshot that you see there. Now, we've already loaded your agency patient tally and outcome tally reports into the tool, and you already have two queries there that are called Case Mix Query 1 and Case Mix Query 2. And those are your hospitalized and non-hospitalized patients. But what you're interested in is your patients for the oral medication management. So you can use the same tool to create two additional categories. You want patients that improved in oral medication management and patients that did not improve. And we provided you with instructions that provide you with screenshots that walk you through on how to create those queries. It's right in your planning packet for oral medications. And again, any assistance, we can help you walk through that. What you will have once you create these two queries, one for patients that improved in the measure, one for patients that did not improve, is a list of the patients that you can use to select patient records for record review. And from that list of patients, you're going to select 30 clinical records. I would suggest that you select 15 that have improved and 15 of patients who did not improve. And you're going to use those patients' records using that clinical record review tool that we provided you in the planning packet. On slide 29, you actually have a snapshot of that tool. If for some reason you don't have the tool, let us know and we can forward it to you. But this is the tool that you're going to utilize to go through your charts, answering these questions, to see what specific areas may need to be improved upon that are listed there. It'll lead you to an identified problem to build your plan of action around. What you will need to do as an agency is determine the review format. And actually, you have the record audit tool, so unless you want to customize that anymore, you're all set and ready to go. You want to determine who's going to conduct the review, determine if it's going to be all of your clinical staff, a subset of your staff, and you want to be able to clearly define that so you can proceed more quickly. And I would encourage you not to just think of your clinical staff. It really can be any of the staff within your organization. One of the agencies shared that their medical record staff are involved in clinical record audits as well as their secretarial staff. So it can be anyone within the agency doing the clinical record reviews. Determine the cases to be reviewed, and you'll have that list of patients from your tally workbook or your tally report. And determine the time frame from review. How quickly do you want it completed? Be sure to give people when and where you want the reviews to be sent to. Is it in 3 days, a week, or some other interval, so everybody's turning them in on time? These decisions and setting them ahead of time will really allow the individual reviewer's assignment to be communicated and more clearly followed through. So we suggest you make those decisions up front. Again, pitfalls to avoid: premature closure or jumping to conclusions. Involving only agency management, you really want your clinical staff involved in this step. Blaming data collection or analysis methods, and not focusing on care delivery. It's easy to think that perhaps the performance level is based upon how people are answering the OASIS question. That may be part of it, but you also want to look at the clinical care that's occurring between the staff and the patients that you're being cared for within your agency. So strongly encourage you to not avoid doing the process of care investigation. We have had agencies in the past that jumped to conclusions, developed a plan of action, and did not see any progress in improvement of their quality measure rate because they really hadn't identified the real problem that was causing the less than high performance in the rate for the agency. Next thing you're going to do is once the staff have completed those record reviews, you're going to draw some conclusions. compile together the team member tally sheets, aggregate the results, and what you'll find is that there may be two or three or four areas, those questions that are not being conducted by staff. And those may be potential problem areas to build your plan of action around. Again, we suggest that you select one or two of those problem areas, and from there you're going to start with your plan of action, and those two problem areas or one problem area are going to be what strategies you focus your plan around. From the aggregation of the information, you have a problem statement, and that is what describes the specific aspect of care that demonstrates opportunities to improve. You want to make that as specific and concrete in wording so that everyone understands the wording, clinical staff know what is expected of them within what specific time frame. You want to make sure that you address issues that are certainly within your agency's control, and you have that focus on patient care delivery, not just OASIS issues, but there's a component of patient care delivery incorporated. And make sure that's narrow enough to keep the plan of action manageable. And, you know, again, our piece in this is really to provide you with technical assistance and guidance. So if you get done with your clinical record review and you've identified some problems and want some help narrowing them down, we'd be more than happy to do that with you. Just give us a call. So once you've got your problem identified, you're going to identify some best practices. And the best practices are really, what are you going to do strategy-wise? Again, I refer you back to that improvement matrix. What strategies from there can be considered to address the specific problem area I've identified? It may be an issue revolving promoting patient self-management. It may be using evidence-based practices or perhaps some of the guidelines that you already have in place within the agency that are not being used consistently. So the best practices are really the focus, your clinical actions, that are going to help you improve this specific outcome measure. Now, when you're considering what strategies and actions to address for this measure for oral medication management, consider, first of all, staff interpretation and understanding of the OASIS question and that they're responding accurately and consistently across the agency. You also want to make sure that you involve all the disciplines within your agency to address oral medication management. For instance, your physical therapy, only patients need to have the therapist's eyes and ears assessing for medication side effects and compliance issues. And along that same line, are the therapists equipped with the tools and education on medication side effects and what questions to ask the patient or caregiver to determine compliance and possible side effects, and what process in place for the therapist to report possible side effects back to the nurse. OT can be utilized for issues such as difficulty opening containers or alternative pill boxes or systems, or perhaps hand strength is weak, and the use of the OT can also impact the patient's medication independence. Speech therapy, using memory sequencing issues that affect medication management. So you really have multiple disciplines that can be involved in this measure across the agency. We incorporated into your planning packet some reference tool for staff guidance and communication. We provided you with an updated version of the BEERS criteria. And what the BEERS criteria does for you is provide guidance as far as what medications should be avoided for patients or used cautiously with patients age 65 years and over, independent of their health conditions and their diagnosis. And there's also a component of the BEERS criteria that looks at specific diseases or conditions and identifies severity levels like high or low, like what not to use for heart failure patients or what not to use for hypertension patients, certain medications. So it can be used, first of all, by the staff so that everyone's consistently evaluating medications that patients are on, but it also can be used for communication if this in BEERS criteria is shared with the physicians that you work with for discussion between the clinician and the patient, or I'm sorry, the clinician and the physician with regards to medications that are of concern or of high severity that the patient may be on. Some of the other tools in there is a medication assessment protocol, and that provides you with a standardized approach to evaluating patients' ability to administer medications, provides guidance to your staff. There's a staff educational tool that looks at medication non-adherence. It evaluates the presence and possible underlying causes of medication non-adherence. For example, is it a knowledge deficit? Is it financial concern, fear of addiction, a health belief, illiteracy that may be causing potential non-adherence issues? Also included is managing your medications tool that can be customized for patients. It's actually patients' ability to understand the type of help that you might be able to provide to them, whether it be a new medication or they're concerned about the side effects, so that you know what their concerns are when you go in to assess them. Medication teaching strategies, just so there's a consistent approach to assessing and teaching and evaluating patients' knowledge. There's a medication simplification protocol, and that encourages standardized and collaborative approach to simplifying complex medication regimens. When we did a survey tool for acute care hospitalizations, we noticed that the average medications for some patients are 13 and 14 medications. So this triggers, if the patient's taking greater than 8 medications, is there an opportunity to simplify the patient's drug regimen, trying to get them goal-wise to get on the fewest medications possible, therefore eliminating preventable drug-related adverse effects and non-pharmacological therapies. This provides you with an actual protocol to follow, along with some steps to the simplification. So there's a number of tools that are provided to you in that planning packet. And if you flip it all over to the back of it, you're actually able to download those tools from our website so that you can have copies of the tools yourself if you'd like to customize those. So there's definitely some care planning tools, medication compliant aid selection criteria that you can utilize with staff within the agency to improve and address the improvement for the measure, along with the tools and resources that are provided in the, on the CD-ROM corresponding to the strategies on the improvement matrix. One other thing on slide 36 really provides some guidance on considerations for medication reconciliation. I know this is a hot topic area, especially with patients going back and forth from the hospital to home health, and it provides you with some steps and guidance to go through to consider with regards to medication history and making sure that the entire team is involved in assessing medication status and the medications that the patient is taking. Next step, once you've identified your strategies, and again, we'll be more than happy to help you select those strategies or give you some guidance, is really to develop some interventions as far as how you're going to move the plan of action off of the page and implement it within your organization. So it's really what is to be done, when it is to be done, and who is going to be responsible. And then you want to make sure that you monitor that those different steps are actually occurring. Then the next step is implementing the action plan. You want to keep your clinical staff informed of the process. The individuals designated in the action plan as responsible for specific intervention actions actually carry out those activities. You want to make sure that it's actually being implemented as planned. And you want to make sure that the clinical staff are actually involved every step of the way and kept informed. So if you're developing new tools, that you want to implement, that they're involved in the design of the tools, review of the tools, and that there's appropriate education provided. And finally, once you get the plan of action implemented, you want to be able to monitor the action plan. As we saw when we looked at the OBQI process circle, it's a dynamic tool. So it's going to be changing. As you implement a couple strategies and you're monitoring and you see improvement, you may want to move on to additional strategies or different clinical behaviors that you would like the staff to carry out to further improve. You can certainly use small tests of change before you implement a full-scale implementation. You may want to test the plan on just a specific type of patient within your organization or with a specific subgroup of your staff. If there's a cardiac team or a respiratory team, they may be your target population to try the plan of action on before you move it out to the rest of your staff. Please make sure, and we can assist you with this too, to monitor. You want to monitor your intervention actions that are occurring, that the staff are using the best practices consistently, and we want to see overall improvement for that outcome measure. We do provide you with some tips for internal monitoring. As frequent as you can, try and do the monitoring real time. You have to remember, when you look at your OBQI reports, there's a 2.5 month time lag for the data. So, for instance, as of today, the most recent data on OBQI CASPER is December 2005, so there's that time month lag. If possible, if you have internal computerized systems that can monitor your patients in real time, or you can select patient records that either improved or did not improve and track this over time, we strongly suggest that. As I mentioned before, assign responsibilities for data collection, and you can utilize all levels of staff for record review. It doesn't have to just be the clinical staff. And integrate the data collection into ongoing work that you're doing. Many of you are currently auditing records for the acute care hospitalization measure. You can certainly use the same records to use to see if patients with a start of care, resumption of care during that time period actually are having the specific strategies and best practices occur that you build into your plan of action. So for next steps, we're on slide 41. You're going to discuss with your team, inform your agency that you're going to be involved in the oral medication initiative. If you don't have an OBQI team or your small agency, you want to try and at least have 2 or 3 people involved in the plan of action development. It shouldn't be just one person for the organization. You definitely want your clinical staff involved. You want to certainly conduct the process of care investigation if you haven't already done so, using that oral medication clinical record review tool in the planning packet, or you could choose to create your own. And get into developing, identifying what the problem is, and develop that plan of action. And we can provide you guidance along the way. We really strongly encourage you to call us with questions. The goal here is really, we'd like to request that you send a copy of your plan to our project team. You can either fax it, email it, send it by mail. It's whatever is easiest for you. By May 1st, we'd like to give you a target date so that you have something to work towards. And what, as we've done in the past, we'll review the plan of action and give you any guidance needed, share any other tools that are become available that may be helpful to the specific area you're targeting. And if you need assistance any part of the way, along the way, if you'd like us to conference into your team meetings, anything that would be helpful to you in developing and implementing your plan, I would encourage you to consult with us on. I did list for you on slide 43 some website resources. If you haven't been to the MedQuick website, we strongly encourage you to go there. There's a multitude of different tools and resources, as well as on our Jenny website. You have listed number there, number 3 on the bullet points there. And our iPro website also has some additional information that can be used as tools and resources. And finally, on slide 44, I know many of you have this already, but you have the 3 project team, myself, Chris Stiegel, and Susan Hollander. All of our contact information is listed there. So if you have questions or want any guidance along the way, please feel free to contact one of us at any time. We'll be more than happy to help you in any way possible. Janika, if you would open up the lines, we'll take any questions or feedback or sharing anyone has.
Sure. Thank you, Ms. Sutterfield. Today's question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please do so by pressing the star key, followed by the digit 1 on your touch-tone telephone. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute button is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We will now pause briefly to allow everyone an opportunity to signal. And at this time, it appears we have no questions.
Okay, that's unusual, but I'm sure that many of you may think of some questions after the fact or want some clarification on maybe some of the OASIS questions. So again, you can feel free to email us or give us a call, and we'll be happy to get that clarification for you. There is a website that does provide you with some guidance to the frequently asked OASIS questions, and I do want to share that with you because there are some questions listed there that are applicable to oral medication management to MOVE 780. The website is the CMS website, and it's www.qtso.com. www.qtso.com. And there's a section in there that you can download frequently asked questions. And we did find some OASIS questions specific to MOVE 780 that do provide additional clarification. Things such as medications given through a G-tube, patients that set up their own pill planners and how to answer MOVE 780 based upon that. Patients who use lists of medication to self-administer their meds, is that considered a drug diary or chart? It does provide you with some official CMS guidance related to MOVE 780. So if you have some time, I would encourage you to go there, and you may get some clarification to some of the questions you may already have or thought of with related to OASIS. Reminder that we will be posting today's presentation to the website for future access, and we would strongly ask you to fill out those evaluations that we provided to you with the materials, because we are definitely interested in your feedback and also any other areas on medication management that you would like us to do educational presentations on. We will be incorporating into the oral medication management educational sessions some sessions on pain management as well as medication reconciliation. And you all received notification of another conference call that we're doing next week this time, entitled Improving Medication Management in Home Health Care. That's going to be on Wednesday, March 22nd from 1 to 2 p.m. And we have some expert guest speakers that will be providing that presentation. Denise Frey, who's a PharmD project director for the Foundation for Partners in Care, and our own Darren Triller. Darren just joined us at iPro. He's also a PharmD, and they're going to be talking about some medication management models and research based upon those models and sharing that information with you on the call. That call also will be audio taped and posted to our website for future reference. So you received a fax back registration form for that call. If you're interested, please return that back to us. That presentation is going to be via WebEx, which we've provided for you before, so you can actually access the presentation via your computer, or you can choose to just listen to the teleconference presentation that goes along with it. So we'll be providing you, those that have already registered, with instructions on how to access and what the teleconference number is to call into. And once you register, we'll be sending out, starting tomorrow, the presentation slides and materials that will be referenced during the call. So we do have that presentation next week, but we'd be very interested in any of the other areas that you think that would be helpful for this measure. Because remember, we're trying to move towards that 90% goal that CMS has established. So whatever areas you think would be helpful, we'd be more than happy to try and look into and provide that presentation and as an educational program for you. Jamika, I just want to make sure before we end that there's no other calls in the queue.
And again, that is star one if you would like to ask a question. And at this time, it appears we do not have any questions, Ms. Butterfield.
Okay, great.
I'm sorry. We do have one question.
Okay.
I have Rose Duhan with, I believe it's Haney.
Yes, thanks. Hi, Rose.
Hi, Sarah. I'm just wondering about how CMS picked that 90%. Do you have any insight into that? I mean, that seems like a pretty lofty target.
Actually, for the eighth scope of work, as far as how they arrived at 90%, I do not know. But for each of the public reported measures, For the eighth scope of work, CMS set target goals. For acute care hospitalization, their target goal is 23%. For all of the other measures, it's 90%, with the exception of status and surgical wounds, which is 100%. So again, they're ambitious goals. Status and surgical wounds tends to be have a higher improvement rate than the other outcomes, which I think is why they set it at 100%. But the 90% range, I think, was just established for us to try and strive towards. But I'm not aware of how that was calculated or how it was arrived upon. Certainly ambitious, though. Any other questions, Jamaica?
At this time, I do not show that there are any further questions, ma'am.
Okay, great. Well, thank you all for spending this hour with us, and I hope you found the information helpful. I know it was a lot of information in a short period of time, but again, please utilize us to guide you through this step, and we're looking forward to collaborating with you to improve the measure and get us close to 90% as we can get. Thank you all very much.